Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing the departure from former White Sox manager Ricky Renteria, a.k.a. Ricky's Boys, as he moves on to bigger and better things, just now with the White Sox. So we'll talk about new potential managers for the White Sox and how that will affect their seasons from years to come. We're also going to talk a little NBA Finals as LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the Heat in a blowout win on Sunday for LeBron to get his fourth NBA championship, his first with the Lakers, somehow that affects his legacy. We're also going to talk a little MLB playoffs as the World Series is a week away after this crazy 60-game pandemic season, whatever you want to call it, for the MLB. So I'll talk matchups there. And of course, NFL, with a couple of huge games last weekend with the Raiders taking out Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in a big upset there. And of course, we have our Week 5 FICT Cup overview with a Week 6 preview, things spicing up in the Fichtner Cup League. So lots to discuss. Let's get to it. So earlier this week, it was announced that Ricky Renteria, as I said before, Ricky's Boys, as we like to call him, will not be returning as the White Sox manager this year, as the White Sox look to move for a new candidate. It was a good run for Ricky's Boys in the last few years that he was here. He's ending his Chicago tour as he was the Cubs manager years back. And after he left, the Cubs did great things. I believe they got Joe Maddon and eventually won a World Series shortly after. So hopefully the White Sox can do the same. As I guess Ricky's Boys, he's kind of a guy that just moves the chains. You know, he moves the chains to, you know, either third and one, possible fourth and goal territory. And then you bring in the big guns for the touchdown. So that's exactly what the White Sox are going for now, trying to go for a more, I think, more of a manager with a resume. So they're going to be looking at guys like, it's been rumored that they're looking at AJ Hinch. They recently had Tony La Russa, 76 years old, interview for a job, the former St. Louis Cardinals manager who had a lot of success, a couple World Series under his belt. And, you know, I don't know what the White Sox are going to do. You know, I haven't heard much more, you know, besides those couple managers. I'm sure as the weeks pile on here that they'll have, you know, some more interviews. But this is a big time moment for the White Sox here. It'd be great to see them snag someone. You know, you always love to see in-house. People have been, you know, talking about how they want Ozzy back as a manager. I honestly love that. I know some people are really against it. But he did manage the 05 World Series champs White Sox squad. You know, so he's done something right. You know, he definitely, you know, with the White Sox having a very Latino dominant team, you know, that's someone that, you know, maybe can really get to know his players. Now, I guess Ricky Renteria was just the White Sox manager who also has a Latino background. But, you know, I feel like Ozzy, though, is, you know, he's high energy guy, really gets to his players, really gets them to play hard. And that might be just what this White Sox team needs. Someone, you know, that's been there before, especially with you know, an in-house organization. Which Ozzie, you know, he's doing post-game right now, and, you know, he always has a lot to say. So why not, you know, speak your mind in the clubhouse, Ozzie? You know, I would love that. Get Frank Thomas in there as, you know, batting coach or assistant coach, whatever you want. Those two, you know, I really love them on with Chuck Garfine, of course, my main man Chuck. The White Sox post-game, you know, what a good crew. You know, really speak their mind. I always care what they have to say because, for the most part, Frank and Ozzie know what they're talking about. You know, they've been in the organization. You know, they've, like I said, you know, they're two primary White Sox alum. I'm going on about this Ozzie edition, but this is what definitely, you know, this definitely, I mean, I don't even know if he's, you know, if they're even looking at him, but, you know, I'm sure his, you know, his name has crossed their minds. But ultimately, I'm excited that they're moving on from Ricky Renteria. You know, didn't do an awful job, you know, especially with, you know, at first not having a lot of talent. But now having, you know, talent this year and going to the playoffs, but really mismanaging some crucial games, especially that, you know, that game three game against Oakland, where the White Sox go up big early. But, you know, he takes Dane Dunning out after, you know, allowing two batters on. Only allowing, you know, they only need one more out. So it's kind of like, you know, very short leash for Dunning. And, you know, they're already, you know, short on pitchers at the time. So, you know, you don't have Giolito, you don't have Keuchel, you don't have Cease. So, you know, really putting a lot of pressure on that bullpen early, you know, ultimately ending in a series loss. As, you know, their bullpen came in, they were erratic, they let out walks. And, you know, and someone's to take the blame right there, and I blame Renteria for that. You know, I try to give him the benefit of the doubt. But ultimately, as I said, he's just the chain mover in my eyes. So I wish him all the best, but I'm happy the White Sox are finally moving on and hopefully landing a big-time manager. So sticking on the topic of baseball, the MLB playoffs are currently in the second-to-last round. So the NLCS and the ALCS, both winners advancing to meet in the World Series. Pretty crazy playoffs. You know, with, you know, now after that first series, teams playing at neutral sites. So San Diego, Houston, or not Houston, San Diego, Texas. So really strange playoffs this year. As you know, for me, I mean, I know the NBA was in the bubble. But with MLB teams playing in actual stadiums, not having that crowd there, man, that's just tough. You know, as a fan, watching the MLB playoffs, a big factor that determines a lot of games is the crowd. I've been to numerous MLB playoff games. I've been to a World Series game. I know how much the crowd means, especially in crucial games. So not having that really hurts. It's crazy how well the stadium's audio system is, as sometimes you do forget that there isn't a crowd because of the, you know, how loud they put the fake crowd volume in. Now, they have allowed some fans into these later rounds, but there's so few that, you know, they're very, you know, you don't even notice them. You know, with the fake crowd noise, you know, they totally block out. You know, if there wasn't any fake crowd noise with the amount of fans they have there, you wouldn't even hear anything besides maybe like a faint yell. So really weird environment, I'd say. But the show does go on, and there's some pretty good teams still left. The Los Angeles Dodgers, after being down 2-0 to the Atlanta Braves, come out with 11 runs in the first inning on Tuesday, as you know, it was a must-win game for the Dodgers, and they came through, putting up the most runs ever in a single inning in the postseason. I think providing a spark for them, I see them, you know, taking off from this game, and I see them winning the series against the Braves. You know, I think the Dodgers are due to finally win that World Series. You know, as much as people hate the Dodgers, especially in Chicago with being huge Cubs fans, me as a White Sox fan, I don't hate the Dodgers. Yeah, you know, I don't sit here rooting for the Dodgers all season, but just watching them play is so amazing. You know, they got so many players, Mookie Betts, Bellinger, Justin Turner, the list goes on. Pitching with Walker Buehler, Kershaw. I mean, this team is electric. I mean, I didn't even name players such as Max Muncy, Corey Seager. I mean, they have, you know, their fifth and sixth best players are top two, three players on most teams. So I do think the Dodgers are due, and I think this is a game that, you know, in the last game against the Braves, in game two, they were getting killed. But they, you know, the bats came out alive late, only losing by one run after being down as many as six or seven. So I think, you know, Dave Roberts after the game said that, you know, that definitely carried over into this game. So that's why, you know, as a team, you know, never give up in a playoff series because, you know, baseball is all about momentum and who's the hottest team. And, you know, the Dodgers right now definitely shift the momentum in this series. Putting up 15 runs in a game definitely would do that. So I see them striving from here on out. Not saying it's going to be easy, as baseball playoffs never are, but definitely heading in the right direction for the Dodgers. I see the Dodgers take that series in six or seven games against the Braves. On the other side, we have the Tampa Bay Rays, the fan favorite for sure, up 3-1 on the Houston Astros. As you know, the Astros really shooting themselves in the foot this series as their pitching has shown up. They've gotten hits, but they haven't been able to cash in with runners on base. Had a couple crucial errors by Jose Altuve, just throwing the game pretty much away for the Astros. He had two throws, one from second to first in the second game, allowing the inning to go on and the Rays taking advantage. And in this game, on Monday, you know, Astros being up 1-0, top of the sixth, has a chance for a double play, short hop second base, and, you know, the Rays end up scoring, I believe it was four runs, so really breaking the game open again. So it's just, you know, it's mistakes like that that are shooting the Astros in the foot, but they did get the win on Tuesday night. As Altuve hit a homer in the first inning. The Rays did tie the game at two. But ultimately, it was the Astros putting away the Rays 4-3. I thought before the series that it was going to be close. I took the Rays in the first game. But then I predicted that the Astros would take game two and three. They did not. And, you know, the Rays are... They're that team that, I mean, in game three, I believe, you know, they had just the best defense I've ever seen. You know, I mean, they took about six runs away from the Astros, literally made about seven diving catches, specifically Kevin Kiermaier and Hunter Renfro, Adames at shortstop. I mean, this team was playing the most ridiculous defense I've ever seen. They're so fun to watch. Their clubhouse, like, you know, reminds me of a Little League clubhouse. You know, everyone, you know, everybody is friends. You know, they all got little, you know, traditions they do in the dugout. You know, everyone has handshakes. It's cool to watch. I think the Rays take this series. I think the Astros were definitely due to win this last game. They weren't going to get swept. But I don't see the Rays losing the series. You know, they're playing too well. They're too exciting. You know, they don't feel the pressure. And I think the Astros, all that, you know, cheating scandals last year, you know, they're trying to blow it over. But I feel like that's karma. You know, for instance, the Altuve errors, it's still lingering around. I don't see the Astros surviving this series against a Rays team that, you know, just has an eye on the prize. You know, they've been good for the last 4 or 5 years, going under the radar every year. And this just might be their year to make it back to the World Series. Definitely a daunting task if they get past the Astros going up against a team like the LA Dodgers or the Atlanta Braves. I think that they're hoping for the Braves to win that series. I don't think anyone wants to play the Dodgers. That being said, if the Braves beat the Dodgers, I wouldn't want to play the Braves either. But I think the Rays definitely have a better chance to win the World Series if the Braves win. I'm definitely hopping on the Rays bandwagon. I hope they win it all. I mean, for all of baseball fans' sake, you know, we love a good underdog. And even though the Rays were the number one team going to the playoffs, they're still an underdog in my mind. You know, going up against a team like the Yankees, who they just survived against in the NL or in the ALDS, and now the Houston Astros. You know, two big name, big market teams. So hats off to the Rays, regardless. But they, you know, they have their eyes set on a championship, and I'm looking forward to being able to discuss next week on the podcast, hopefully a sexy World Series matchup.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week has to go to LeBron and the Lakers. Why you gotta do it, LeBron? Why you gotta keep winning? You know, I actually, you know, this year I didn't mind. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, I don't mind the Lakers now. You know, LeBron, AD, you know, fun team to watch, really good. But after really, you know, watching the bubble and watching all these playoff games, I'm like, it's the same LeBron. Just as good, but just as much of a complainer. Just what he did on Miami. He's so fun to watch. He's the best player of our generation. But he's so annoying to watch and root for because he just complains all the time. And I know, you know, he can do whatever he wants because he's LeBron. And maybe I'm overreacting. And, you know, people probably think I'm biased because I'm a Bulls fan. And, you know, he tormented the Bulls for years. But just from a, you know, a neutral fan's perspective, he's just, you know, there's something about him where, you know, he needs people to tell him he's good. And, you know, and after he wins this Lakers championship, you know, his first on the team, and he's holding the trophy, you know, he says, you know, I want, you know, some damn respect on my name. I'm like, dude, like, people respect the hell out of you. But people don't respect you when, you know, you say stuff like that. Like, why do you need people to tell you you're great? You are. So just be humble about it. Don't worry about what other people think. You know, he's always trying to prove people wrong. I think he's done that already. You know, if he's proved anything to people in this world, is that he's good at basketball. And he's achieved that. But, you know, he's always just, you know, it's the same thing. It's so hard for me to, you know, I see that, you know, the Lakers win. You have J.R. Smith taking off his shirt, like running around. Like, dude, what are you doing? You didn't do shit. You have Kyle Kuzma taking these fake Instagram posts with the trophy, like trying to mimic Kobe. Like, dude, you throwing up bricks off the side of the backboard. I mean, come on. The only person I really am happy for is Anthony Davis here. You know, really cool that, you know, from being from Chicago, I was really hoping the Bulls would snag him, you know, when they're, you know, when he was demanding a trade from the Pelicans. I'm not surprised he went to the Lakers with LeBron. I mean, I don't know how you pass that up. They obviously work amazing together. They're good friends. They're a perfect matchup. But so I do feel good for him, but not the other guys. I mean, even Rondo, it's pretty cool that he was on the Celtics and won a championship and also won with the Lakers. You know, there's only one other guy that's done that, I believe. But, you know, I don't care. You know, he was actually really good in the finals. He was a huge role player for the Lakers. But he's just, you know, he's so unlikable. You know, I guess that one year when he was with the Bulls, I was rooting for him. But then he, you know, got hurt in the playoffs. So, you know, he did, you know, we lost because we didn't have Rondo, whatever that was, playoff Rondo. But playoff Rondo definitely showed up this finals and this playoffs, I'd say, you know, after being out from injury. But, you know, I don't root for him. I can't really root for him. So a lot of unlikable players for me on the Lakers. And ultimately, LeBron winning again, getting closer to Jordan. How this affects his legacy, I don't think it really does. I mean, he won the championship this year, as he should. They were definitely the favorites going into the bubble. But, I mean, he's not on Jordan's level. I mean, and I don't know if he ever will. He, you know, he's trying to definitely tie Jordan at least, tie Kobe. But, I mean, Jordan went 6-for-6. And you know what? I think what is LeBron 4-7 now? So if LeBron was really Jordan level, he would have won 10 by now at least. So, you know, if he could have done that, then we could talk. But, you know, also joining super teams in Miami, Lakers. Yes, Jordan had Pippen. You know, he had, you know, great players around him. But, you know, that was in-house. You know, they drafted Pippen. You know, they're not, you know, Jordan never formed a team, which, you know, everyone does these days now. You know, it's not just LeBron, but he definitely started it. You know, he started it. I sound like I'm a sixth grader, but he did, you know. And, you know, joining up with Bosh and Wade, yeah, he did it. You know, but they should have won. They were the best team by far. But they, you know, they formed that empire over there, you know, and now everybody's doing it. It sucks. I hate it. You know, I hate super teams forming. It's cool. You know, I like seeing big names. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I sound like a hypocrite because I love Steph Curry and the Warriors. But I think also it just comes down to LeBron and just, you know, him always talking about wanting his damn respect. I mean, come on, LeBron. You got it. Just enjoy it. Everyone's chilling. No one cares, dude.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 Spotlight of the Week has to go out to John Gruden and the Raiders. Raiders with a big upset win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, it wrecked my parlay and many other people's parlays. But I give my, you know, my hats off to the newly Las Vegas Rams, the Las Vegas Raiders. As you know, they've looked good this season. They're 3-2, you know, having some big wins against Drew Brees and the Saints on a Monday night primetime game. Now beating the Chiefs. This Raiders team is, I think, for real. And when you have a running back and Josh Jacobs that can carry down the field with the veteran quarterback now and Derek Carr, who has his shit together this year, with, you know, scary wide receivers and Henry Ruggs only being a rookie. Can't wait to see what he can do down the stretch. And having some solid guys like Hunter Renfrow, you know, step up when he, you know, when his number's called. You know, defense is solid. Gruden's done a great job with this team. You know, ballsy coach, but really paying off for most of the time. And they're a legit playoff contender right now. I'm not saying they're going to win at all, but I don't want to play the Raiders in the playoffs. I mean, this team's dangerous. You know, this team got swagger, and they have confidence. And they seem to like to play, you know, for each other and for Gruden. So watch out for the Raiders. I think that they're going to make the playoffs this year. That's my prediction. Or at least, you know, be riding that hunt till the end. But I'm excited to see what Vegas has in store because the Raiders, they're here to stay.
For the flick of the week this week, we're going to take it to one of my all-time favorite movies, Moneyball, featuring Brad Pitt as the Oakland A's general manager. Freaking unbelievable movie. It's about Brad Pitt as playing Billy Bean as he is trying to rebuild the Oakland Athletics through using statistics as opposed to just, you know, claiming those big names. And so when everyone thought that the A's rebuilding, Billy Bean was trying to rebuild, but he was also trying to compete at the same time. So he hires analytics genius Jonah Hill. I'm not sure if this is really what happened in real life. This is based on a true story. But, you know, it's an underdog movie. You know, I love rooting for the underdog, kind of Rudy-esque, but, you know, really well done. If you love baseball and you love sports, this is a movie for you. And even if you don't love sports, I mean, this is a movie where everybody, you know, loving sports or not, will enjoy this movie. Very well done. I highly recommend Moneyball, Moneyball, Moneyball. For the bet of the week this week, we're going to take it to the MLB playoffs, NLCS action. Los Angeles Dodgers against the Atlanta Braves. The Los Angeles Dodgers were down 2-0 going into last night's game against the Braves. Come out with 11 runs in the first inning, ultimately winning the game 15-3.
Tonight, they're heavy favorites again with Kershaw on the mound. And I'm taking them -1.5. I'm not usually a spreads guy for baseball because it always comes back and fucks me. But I think the Dodgers are going to keep it rolling. I see them winning by more than one run, especially with Kershaw on the bump. So I'm taking the Dodgers tonight, -1.5. I believe they're -140, you know, so not the greatest odds, but I think they're going to win, so I'm willing to put the money down. Los Angeles Dodgers, -1.5, book it. It is now time for the Week 5 Figner Cup overview for the best league in the land. As Scott Hansen likes to say, it's now the witching hour, ladies and gentlemen. We're about halfway done with the fantasy season, and this is where it counts. You know, this is where, you know, if you're struggling, you need wins. If you're winning, you want to keep winning so, you know, you don't slip going into the playoffs. These are where boys become men, and you know what? Everyone's just trying to keep their teams healthy at this point, but everyone's trying to get wins. You know, everyone wants to go into the playoffs with a favorable seed. And there was a couple of good matchups for week five. You know, couple blowouts as well, but definitely a couple of nail biters that's going to determine seeding down the line. So let's hop right into it. Let's start with the matchup of the week last week with my team, the Sukun Saloon, going up against Bout That Action. Both of us going into that matchup 4-0. But it was the Saloons getting the huge statement win, 144.1 to 99.8. Everybody performing on my team last week, with Thielen giving me 24.8, Metcalf 24.3, and Kyler Murray 26.3. That was huge because I had Aaron Jones on a bye, so I'm happy to get that out of the way now, especially with having Kamara on bye next week. So I kind of like having those running backs go on byes back-to-back weeks, especially with having Antonio Gibson as, you know, a fine RB2 play, which I'm not mad about that. But, you know, Lamar Jackson really letting Lebo down, only giving him 13. Henry with 2 touchdowns, but only 57 yards, so he only got 18.8, which is still a solid day for Henry, but he needed more, probably around 30. Carson with a 17 spot, not bad there. Hayden Hurst with a 1.8, really letting him down. Juju with 4.8. And Robert Woods had a solid game, 15.1. Miles Sanders with 22.9, but Kansas City D, -5. Just not going to get it done for Bout That Action. So they are handed their first loss, but nothing to hang their heads about. They're going to be right there to the end. Huge breakout year for both of us, actually, both of the Saloons and Bout That Action. So I'm sure I'll see him again in the playoffs. If not, we're going to be, you know, I think we have one more matchup against each other at the end of the year. So not the last time I'll see Lebo, but, you know, good test for me right there. Happy to get the dub. Let's go to another close matchup here. We had Big Daddy for 3 against Ethan Holman. Big Daddy 2-2 going to the matchup with Holman being 1-3. Both needing a win, but it was Coughlin eking out that 3-point dub to go 3-2, and Holman dropping to 1-4. Really huge day for Patrick Mahomes getting Coughlin 30. Even though the Chiefs lost, Mahomes still put up Mahomes numbers with 340 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hopkins with a big 22.1. Didn't really do anything all day. Had a huge touchdown at the end of the game, really solidifying it. For Big Daddy. And then for Holman, really a devastating loss here. You know, it came down to the final night with, you know, the projections being almost equal with Coughlin having Hunter Henry and Latavius Murray and Holman having Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen scored early, huge touchdown right at the beginning of the game, but then did not come back with back spasms. So Hunter Henry ended up scoring a touchdown for Coughlin, giving himself 10.3, and Latavius Murray with a 6.7, that being enough to beat Holman. Really devastating loss for Sabrina's. You know, really trying to be 2-3. Holman actually with the third most points for in the league, which is, you know, for someone being 1-4, that is pretty devastating to look at. He was actually thinking about coming on the podcast this week, but with the devastating loss, he was not able to get himself to do it. Very understandable. Hopefully we see him later on the podcast. Not a podcast this season without Ethan Holman, so he's going to have to come on here at this point. But he's going to have to get it together. You know, he loves being 1-4, you know, starting off bad and then making the playoffs later. But, you know, it's a tough league this year. You know, he's going to have a tough schedule down the road. So we'll see if he can pull it together, but never count Holman out. But it's getting to the point where he's going to start needing to rack up some W's. And what do you know? Mr. Kyle Coughlin now 3-2. You can never count Coughlin out. He always finds a way. He never gives up. So got to watch out for Kyle Coughlin going into the playoffs. No one wants to play him first round. Going into another matchup, we have the Dodson Bailouts eking out a one-point win against Mike Nasser. Nasser was actually out of it. You know, it didn't seem like he had much of a chance. But then on the last night, he had Jonu Smith give him a couple touchdowns. But it was Steven Gostkowski's 6 points for the Bailouts, giving him that 130.24, 129.38 win. The Bailouts moving to 4-1 after starting out 0-1, really proving why they should be moved back up into the power rankings. I said week one after dropping him 5 spots. Let me see it, Kleinhans. And he's proven to me, even with these close wins he's getting, he is finding a way to win. And that's a scary team you don't want to play in the playoffs. Nasser really just, you know, can't buy one right now. Moving to 1-4. His team has been up and down all year. Really would love a win, right? The last 2 weeks he was close to getting a dub and just couldn't get it done. So tough loss for Nasser, but not out of it yet. That 6C is definitely up for grabs. So he has to find that voice in the locker room again. I think he has to re-find it, and hopefully he can make a playoff push towards the end of the season. To the next matchup, we have the Minneapolis Mike Caputos against Big Sam. Really another disappointing day for Big Sam. Not starting at tight end. Starting Julio Jones when he didn't play. That's just not going to get it done. You know, losing 127.72 to 66.72. I mean, Big Sam never even giving himself a chance in this matchup. I mean, next week he has New Orleans D on bye. Will he start a defense? Probably not. But you never know with Big Sam. Hopefully he's doing okay. You know, we haven't heard from him for a while, so who knows who's setting his lineup. Will he start the defense next week? That is the prop bet of the year. But nonetheless, good win for Caputos. He is now 3-2 after dropping his last couple. So good for him to get back in the win column. And, you know, still a dangerous team. You know, he has running back depth. You know, he is a, you know, explosive team that they can put up numbers. So another team you don't really want to play. You know, I say about every team, but yeah, you don't really want to play most of these teams in the playoffs, because once a team gets hot in this league, you don't want to play them. To our last matchup of last week, we had the commissioner, the 69ers, featuring Nick and Madison, getting 104.16 to 69.44 dub over Dan Vernado's Vegas Sun. Another team that just can't buy a win is Big Ticket, Nick Pastuovic. But, I mean, you can't be surprised when you're starting Deion Lewis as one of your running backs, getting 1.1, had 0 rushing yards. I believe he had 1 or 2 catches for 5 or 6 yards. That's just not going to get it done. Granted, he had Nick Chubb out for probably the rest of the year. DeAndre Swift on bye, so not a lot of options to start at running back, but maybe he should have made a trade to try to get a running back. But tough go around for Ticket this week and also this year. It was one of my bold predictions that Ticket was going to get the dub over Luke Boyd, but you know, I didn't realize that he was going to start Deion Lewis. So I, you know, the commish proved us all wrong, but the commish still, you know, it's huge that now he has Madison with Dalvin Cook being out, so there's some life for Luke, and who is now 3-2, so very much in the playoff picture. So overall, kind of a resume building week for most teams. The bottom teams, aka the East Division, really, you know, not performing this year. Luke Boyd's in first place in the division, being 3-2. Everybody else either 1-4 or 0-5. So one of those teams is going to have to make it out into the playoffs. It's going to be a battle because right now Luke, you know, has a solid 2-game lead over the next 3 teams in the division. But I mean, all it takes is a couple losses and a couple wins, and just like that, it's a different story. So definitely going to be some intriguing matchups going into next week. And so with that, I want to bring out the end of week 5, start of week 6 power rankings for the Fichtner Cup. At number 10, we have, for the 6th time in a row or 5th time in a row, we have big ticket Nick Pastovic, 0-5, still searching for that first win on the season. You know, he's had some tough luck with injuries. People are, you know, he has the most points against in the league, which doesn't help. But really disappointing start for the season for Ticket. And if he doesn't get a couple wins now, it's going to be too late. At number 9, we have Big Sam, Sam Kuhn. Really lucky that he won that first week. Otherwise, I think he'd be number 10, which is the abominable, terrible starts he's making. Really just, you know, not putting in that effort right now to just start someone in his lineup. You know, Big Sam, you know, you're a crowd favorite, but, you know, you can't start somebody. I mean, come on now. You can't give these guys, you know, you can't give these good teams any leeway or let them off the hook. You know, you have some decent players. You just, you know, refuse to start anyone if, you know, they're not playing or they have a bye. So we'll see if Big Sam can somehow pull out some wins. But, you know, it's going to be another maybe a freak bowl preview with Big Sam and Pastuvic. But really, really questionable. I really question Kuhn's decision-making skills, but then again, we don't know where he is, so will he, as I said before, start a New Orleans defense? We will find out later this week. At number 8, we have Mike Nasser at 1-4. Nasser really needing a dub this week against the Bailouts. Would have been a huge statement win. Coming up 1 point short, it has to hurt. You know, he has a pretty decent team. You know, he's been battling injuries all year. But you know what? He's been struggling to find that voice in that locker room. So he's Russell Wilson to rally up the troops and get that team on track. Otherwise, it's going to be a short season for Nasser this year. At number 7, we have Ethan Holman at 1-4. As I said before, Holman with the 3rd most points in the league, but with the 2nd most points against behind Ticket. Nonetheless, you know, his team, you know, questionable getting 2 Bengals players in Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon, especially with starting Joe Burrow last week against Baltimore D instead of Big Ben, where he went off. So that's the difference right there. It's, you know, just not, I know he knows it, questionable managerial skills and decisions last week, which can come back to haunt you. You know, people understate the importance of being a good fantasy football manager. And Holman, you know, kind of pulled a Ricky Renteria last week. You know, he just did not put in the right matchup for that week, and that cost him. So tough loss for Holman last week, going up against rival Big Daddy for 3. So hopefully Holman can pick it up next couple weeks because he's going to need it. Otherwise, like I said, for Nasser, it's going to be a short season for Mr. Holman. At number 6, we have Luke Boyd. Luke at top of the East Division right now at 3-2. Like I said before, huge pickup with Madison last week. Had him, you know, he was forced to start him even when Dalvin Cook was playing. And now that he's hurt, that provides a little spark for the 69ers. But still with a lot of work to do. You know, if he doesn't hold on to that lead or that record he has, you know, he's going to slip. But right now he's comfortably in that number 6 spot in the power rankings, being 3-2 with how bad that East Division is. So Luke with the two game lead, he's sitting fine right now, but he needs to keep it going to solidify his playoff spot. At number 5, we have Big Daddy for 3, Kyle Coughlin. Coughlin with a huge dub over Holman, making it now that he's 3-2 on the year. As I said before, that's someone that you don't want to play first round with his championship experience. And he's going for that three-peat. He does not care what his record is as long as he's in the playoffs. So big day for three, continues to climb in his power rankings, you know, staying around that 4-6 range. You know, if he can rattle off a couple more wins in a row, we're talking top three finish for Kyle Coughlin. Maybe even going for that, you know, he's right there for that number two seed bye. So Kyle Coughlin, huge stretch right here for him, but he's trending upwards for sure. At number four, we have the Minneapolis, Mike Caputo's Nick Fornato. Nato with a huge win over Big Sam. Well, I don't know if I'd say huge, but, you know, a win's a win. Every win is huge. So, you know, obviously didn't want to go 2-3. So going 3-2 keeps him in that, you know, that playoff hunt right there. You know, keeping him above 500. You don't want to be 3-2 feels a lot better than 2-3. I'll say that. So huge win for Nato over Big Sam. Looking to keep it going next week. At number three, we have about that action with a tough loss to the Sukun Saloons last week. Lamar definitely not countering enough for him. So that's dropping him two spots as the bailouts at number two now with a huge win over the McGee's Human Centipede. A deserving number two. You know, that was my toughest one. Who's going to be two? Who's going to be three? I think Kleinhans with winning four games in a row puts him one spot over Lebo. You know, not cracking 100 last week, you know, hurts. But they're pretty much, you know, you can flip those any way you want. I'm just, you know, I think Kleinhans is, you know, is one of the hottest teams right now with, you know, he's been bailed out a couple of times, as I said, but he's getting dubs and he's someone that knows how to win. And he's going into a huge matchup with the Saloons next week. Who is your number one team in the power rankings? You know, I've been in that number 2-3 range this whole year, but it's time to put myself at number one with having the most points forced in the league. I think I've been the most consistent so far. You know, I've continued to put up numbers. My points against isn't great. You know, teams have not been putting up a lot of points on me, but I think with the overall points forced, that kind of cancels each other out. So I'm humbled to be in the number one spot in the power rankings, but so much work to do. This means nothing right now unless you can deliver in the playoffs. So my goal this year was just to make the playoffs. That's still my goal. Obviously, I would love to, you know, compete for the Fichtner Cup, but you can't think that far ahead. It's a 1 week at a time mentality. I'm humbled right now, but looking to continue the success for the weeks to come. So let's go into the week six matchups for the Fichtner Cup. And let's start with my matchup against the Dotson Bailouts. The Bailouts and the Saloons. The Bailouts are projected 1 point higher than the Saloons this week. It's going to be tough with Kamara and Metcalf on buys, but that's no excuse. It's next man up mentality. So hopefully Marvin Jones can produce against Jacksonville. You know, he's due for a good game. And hopefully Aaron Jones can carry my team against the Buccaneers next week. And we have a big start with the Bailouts losing Prescott for the season. He is now starting Ryan Fitzmagic. Going up against the Jets next week, that's a pretty favorable matchup for Fitzmagic. So let's see if that can provide a spark for the Bailouts. But I am predicting a Saloons 2-point victory over the Bailouts. It's going to come down to Monday night with the Cardinals playing against the Cowboys as Kleinhans has Zeke and Arizona D, along with Travis Kelce playing on Monday against the Bills at 4 o'clock. And I have Kyler Murray on Monday night at Dallas, along with Zuerlein. So that's going to be, you know, this is going to be a matchup that comes down to the last day. So going to be an exciting one. Definitely going to be my biggest test on the year with being undermanned a little bit, but I'm ready for the challenge. I'm ready to compete with the number one or with the number two team in the power rankings. That's 2 weeks in a row that the Saloons have had a primetime matchup. Let's see if they can come through again. The next matchup here, Big Daddy for three against Tam Fernandes, Vegas Sun. Ticket cannot just catch a break with these matchups. Another tough matchup for him. Going up against a Big Daddy team that's hot. I don't see really any way Ticket gets this win over a hot Big Daddy team. I think Ticket likes to keep it close early, but Big Daddy ultimately is going to win this comfortably by at least 15 to 20 points. Another big matchup here, we have the Minneapolis Michael Pudos, Nick Furnado, going up against Ethan Holman. Holman desperately needing a win here, trying to prove that he belongs in the six spots for the Fichtner Cup playoffs. But coming off a win, Nado has Rodgers in the starting lineup, Kareem Hunt, Clyde Edwards, Ridley's hot, Jonathan Taylor in the flex. That's a sexy lineup. Holman going bold with starting Mecole Hardman in his flex. I do like it with Sammy Watkins going down. Rob Gronkowski in the tight end position, trying to get his first touchdown on the year. I do like the CeeDee Lamb start, but you know it's going to be tough. CeeDee Lamb, Will Fuller, kind of boomer bust players. We'll see if Mike Davis and Joe Mixon can lead the squad running backs. I am calling here. I'm going to call an Ethan Holman win here. I think he's due. Nado right now has been, you know, kind of winning and losing back and forth. So I'm calling Ethan Holman dub here. I haven't called many of those this year, but I do think he gets this win as he has been putting up a lot of points. He's just been, you know, getting screwed with the points allowed. But, you know, he is starting Big Ben right now, so let's start in the right direction. So hopefully Ethan does not make any more managerial mistakes here. Another huge matchup here might be, you know, along with the bailouts and the saloons, a matchup of the week is Bout That Action against the 69ers. It's a 1-point spread right now with the 69ers coming out on top. I'm calling a Bout That Action win here. I don't think, you know, we haven't seen how Bout That Action has played this year coming off a loss because he hasn't lost until last week. So I think that Lamar is going to have a huge game against Philly, along with Henry against the Texans. And, you know, I think Bout That Action gets a huge win here. I think he wins by at least 10 points. I really like Justin Jefferson in the flex. I think he's also going to have a huge game against Atlanta. So I'm calling Bout That Action dub here. I'm not jumping off that train. I'm a huge fan of Bout That Action. And I think the commish still has something to prove here. So Bout That Action getting that win, 120-110. And the last matchup here, kind of an interesting matchup here. We have Big Sam, who has most of his lineup filled this week except for the defense. So the big question is, does Big Sam pick up a defense here? As he's going up against McGee's Human Centipede, who is really just, you know, with Dalvin Cook going out, with Russell Wilson on bye, going to be a tough week for Mr. Nasser here. So I think if Big Sam starts a defense, I'm giving Big Sam the dub this week. You know, I was critical of him earlier, but I'm just trying to, motivate you, Big Sam. I'm just trying to, you know, let you know that if you start a full lineup, your team isn't that bad. You know, with Josh Allen, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Julio, you know, you have some weapons. You just have to make smarter fantasy decisions. So if Big Sam starts his defense, I'm giving Big Sam the W this week over Mike Nasser. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. With the COVID makeup game happening this Tuesday with the Titans and the Bills, that's the reason that the Riddle Me That podcast was postponed a couple days this week so I can do the Fit Cup overview. But next week, amidst any COVID outbreaks, we will be back to the normal time on Tuesday. So I really appreciate all your guys' patience and sticking with me. You know, it means a lot. I hope everybody has a good rest of your night, and I'll see you guys next week. Riddle Daddy, out.